Today on The Journey.
Solid food is for the mature. That word means a grown person. For those who have had their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
How healthy is your spiritual appetite? Are you on a liquid diet, or does the offer of a hearty meal sound more appealing? Your answer will determine whether your faith stagnates or flourishes. So on today's broadcast, Ron Moore examines the link between a nourishing doctrinal feast and mature faith. His study will challenge you to expand your menu. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Ron for a message titled Solid Food on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The author of the Hebrews is writing to a Jewish audience. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those who have come from the Jewish faith, and they have realized that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the one who died for their sins, and they've trusted in Him alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God. And some of them are having trouble letting go of past traditions. So through the book, the writer tells them, you got to let go of these past traditions. You got to let go of these past rituals. In fact, he shows them that Jesus is greater than all these things. The word better, referring to Jesus, the word more, the word greater, appears a total of 25 times throughout the book of Hebrews. The writer drives home his point over and over and over again. The theme of Hebrews, Jesus is greater than. He is absolutely supreme. Now, granted, in this book, there are some challenging things to understand. Last time we looked at this aspect of Jesus being after the order of Melchizedek, this king that the Jewish readers would have known about in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 14, he's introduced with Abraham, and then Psalm 110, he is talked about, and he's going to tell us how Jesus compares to this Melchizedek, and that's a challenging truth that he wants to explain to his readers. But today's passage, Chapter 5, 11 through 14, could not be more clear. It is hard-hitting, it is convicting, and it is straight to the point. And many today will have a hard time accepting it and acting upon it. F.F. Bruce, the great theologian, said this, "The intellect is not over-ready to entertain an idea that the heart finds unpalatable." Said another way, our minds don't want to consider the things our hearts do not desire. And our passage today is about a heart's desire. It's an important one. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Let me read through them, and then we'll look at each one. The writer says, "About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." All right, let's go through these verses. The writer says, "About this, we have much to say." What's about this? Well, remember, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, he told us this comparison with Jesus and this Old Testament king and priest called Melchizedek. And he said, Jesus is a priest and king after the order of Melchizedek. He says, about that, I've got a lot to say. And he says, it's hard to explain. It's meaty. It's weighty. It has some teeth to it. It's not the basic stuff. You got to go a little deeper here, but it's hard to explain to some of you who are reading this, the writer is saying, because you have become dull of hearing. And I'm sure that went over well, especially when we understand what dull of hearing means in the Greek. In the Greek, the word means slacker, lazy. It's only used in Hebrews one at a time. It's used in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It's translated sluggish. The word literally means no push, no effort, no passion, no desire. And the writer is saying, it's not that you can't grasp it. It's not that you can't understand it. You got here. That's not the issue. You don't want to understand it. You don't want to accept it. You don't want to learn it. You don't want to apply God's word. You really don't want to grow spiritually. He is saying to his readers here, you are slackers. You've lost the game. See, our minds will not consider the things our hearts do not desire. Now, you got to think about those readers. 60 to 70 AD, Nero is king. The guy was insane. And he's going to bring persecution. And so they would say, hey, time out. I ought to come to church. And I'm in danger of persecution. Don't tell me I'm lazy. Don't tell me I'm a slacker. Persecution's coming. Yeah. And you got to get ready for it. You've got to be ready. You've got to do today the things you need to do to get prepared for the things tomorrow. If you don't, you're not going to be ready for the persecution. You're going to be one of those who jettisons of faith. You're going to be one of those who runs. You're going to be one of those who recants. You got to be ready for what's coming. And that starts today. The prophet Jeremiah had the same concerns for some people in his day. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. People who neglected God's word. Jeremiah said, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will even listen? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. And why is it offensive? Because they find no pleasure in it. Again, the mind finds unpalatable what the heart doesn't want to do. Now, contrast what the writer is saying about these individuals being dull of hearing with what Paul writes to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you. Look at the difference. Slackers, and then the Thessalonians, here were people who said, you know what, this is God's word. I got to take it seriously. I got to be in it. I got to be reading it. I got to know what he tells me. And not only did the Thessalonians read it, but then they accepted it. Hey, this really is God's word. This really is what he says. And then what did they do? They acted on it, which is at work in you believers. They actually did something about God's word. But those receiving the letter to the Hebrews, they were not like the Thessalonians. The writer calls them lazy, slackers. You don't even try to understand. Dull of hearing, no push, spiritually sluggish. Let me ask you a question. Are you sitting with a group of Thessalonians who say, man, I'm in this thing because it's just not word of men, it's the word of God. I'm going to read it, I'm going to accept it, I'm going to apply it. Are you a Thessalonican or are you in that Hebrew group? Slacker, lazy, dull of hearing. Pretty strong words, aren't they, from the writer to that group in Hebrews. So he better be able to back it up. So that's what he's going to do now. And he's going to tell them, I'm warning you of this because there's something at stake here. It's urgent. It's eternal. It's important. You see, the dull of hearing is the cause. The effect is you're putting yourself in danger. This is too critical. It's too much at stake here. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be the one sharing the message of Christ. You ought to be the one leading the spiritual way. By this time, you've been around long enough. You know the stuff. You got no excuses. Holy Spirit lives within you. You got all the resources. by this time, you ought to be the teachers. But you need someone else to teach you the basic oracles of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. That's the plan, right? I teach you, and you teach someone else, and then they teach someone else, and then they teach someone else. That's the deal. That's just spiritual maturity. It's what God has put you here to do. Some of the recipients of the letter couldn't even share the basics. And the writer's saying, you have no excuse. You're spiritually lazy. You're slacker. Let me show you a passage that drives home this point. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. So Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Okay, so when we were children, when we were just getting started, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And then he goes on to say, but Jesus came. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as a son. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Okay? Got it? Now look at verse 9. But now that you come to know God, or rather, to be known by God, how can you go back to that? How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? Paul says, seriously? That was for children. But you've been redeemed. You've been restored. You've been justified. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You trusted in Christ. You're a new creation. Seriously, you want to go back to the basic elementary principles of the world? You see, when you fail to grasp the basics of the faith, you fall to a base level living of the world. When you fail to embrace the foundational principles of God's Word, you live according to the worthless elementary principles of the world. You're going to live by some principles. Are they going to be God's or the world's? Chapter 5, verse 12. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone else to teach you. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. You need milk. You've regressed. You choke on anything of substance. If you were a baseball player, you'd have to go back and play t-ball. If you were a skier, someone would help you put your boots on and take you to the bunny slopes. If you were a football player, you'd have to play for the Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry. I didn't think that was that funny, but some of you thought that was more funny than me. The writer says, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. And he's taken some shots, isn't he? The word unskilled means to be inexperienced in something or unacquainted with something. It describes a lack of knowledge or capacity to do something. The phrase word of righteousness describes the gospel, but not just the gospel, being able to share the gospel and being able to live out the gospel. You have allowed yourself to be inexperienced in sharing the most important message in time and eternity, and you are not allowing yourself to be capable of living out the most important message of time and eternity. So here's the bottom line. By this time, you have not even grown. You're a spiritual infant. You still choke on solid food. Spiritually speaking, you are sucking milk. You can't handle meat. When our first child Brittany was born, man, we were so excited, and our whole family was excited, and every stage was cool, and we couldn't wait until she started talking. So her first word was the word trash. It's a little disappointing, but anyway, it was exciting, right? Because she said trash. And we called up the grandparents and said, Brittany's talking. Oh, what'd she say? Trash. But it's cool. She's talking. She said a word. Now, what if when she was 3, that was still the only word she was saying? What if she was 5? And that was still the only word she could say? The excitement at the beginning would now tell us something's not right. And what brought great excitement would now bring great concern. So if you're a believer and you've been around a while and you're still saying the spiritual equivalent of trash, one word, that's concerning. Development's not happening. Something's got to change. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Solid food is for the mature. That word means a grown-up, a grown person. For those who have had their powers of discernment, their perception, their capability to understand things, for those who have had it trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I love that word train. It's the word gymnazo. We get the word gymnasium from it. And in the gymnasium of that day, they would see these athletes come, and they would see these athletes train day in, day out, training for the Olympic events. They would train by constant practice. By the way, guys, Christian life doesn't happen in one explosion. You can't go get a book that says 5 easy ways to really crank it up in your spiritual life. It comes through training and constant practice. The old writers used to call this mortifying the flesh. When you have a temptation and you give into it, you're feeding the temptation. When you have a temptation and by constant practice, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not even going to look at that because that's going to make me want to look at that. Mortifying the flesh. And that temptation never goes away, but it becomes duller and duller, constant practice. That's how a believer can live a life that pleases God and make an impact in his or her world. When you do that, then you can distinguish good from evil. I believe the writer here is talking about 2 things: moral good from evil and theological truth from error. All right. This passage says some believers are spiritually lazy. If the shoe fits, then wear it and do something about it. If you're not in God's Word at least 4 times a week, you are putting yourself in spiritual danger. If you're not applying God's Word, you're putting yourself in spiritual danger. If you're clicking the porn site all the time, my goodness, you're putting yourself in spiritual danger. You're being spiritually lazy. You're being spiritually undisciplined. And it's not just you dozing at the wheel. It's everyone in the car. When are you going to do something about it? I can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Other guys can't do it for you. They can just challenge you to do it. You got to man up and you got to say, I'm going to be the man God has called me to be. And that's just not a word I say. That's constant practice. I've got to do something. Just like I work out, I've got to work out spiritually. This passage says that some believers are wasting their gifts. Guys, some of you need to be teachers. You need to be the ones mentoring younger guys. This passage talks about being disciplined, and a lot of Christians are selectively disciplined. They'll pick out one thing. They're about giving. Boy, it's about giving. Everybody should be giving. But then they're not reading the Word. It's about serving. Everybody should be serving. Then they're looking at pornography. I run 6 days a week. I burn about between 500 and 600 calories when I run. And I can still gain weight. So I was at a graduation party last night. Big old piece of cheesecake, man, it was good. I looked up, it was 400 calories. That was my run. Big old scoop of ice cream. You know how much a scoop of ice cream is? 200 calories. That's bad enough, just one scoop, but I never stop at one scoop. I out-eat my exercise. And there are some people so disciplined in one area, but they're sucking a bottle in another area. Sad picture, isn't it? A man in a big home, nice car, great retirement, fantastic job, sitting at home with his family, sucking on a spiritual bottle. That's a tragic picture. This past Tuesday, Uber employees called an all-hands-on meeting, their company's headquarters in San Francisco. In February, a female employee, an engineer in the company, wrote this expose describing a workplace plagued by sexism and mismanagement. The expose led Uber to hire an outside firm to check out their company, what was going on. Many of the issues were the result of the tone set by who? The leader, the founder and leader, CEO Travis Kalanick, 40-year-old man who ran his company but never grew up. His moral flexibility, hubris, and the raunchy culture that he created was in danger of damaging a company that has grown to a global powerhouse of $70 billion. He's making money hand over fist, and he's running his company like a fraternity house. As a result, Kalanick will be taking a leave of absence, the board told him, of an undetermined length, and will eventually return in a diminished mode. In a message to the firm's 14,000 workers, he wrote this: "If we're going to work on Uber 2.0, I also need to work on Travis 2.0. You know what he's saying? I got to grow up. Stephen Beck, founder of a consulting firm, EG42, summed up the character flaws and problems with Uber this way: run fast, break things, we can pick up the pieces later, is okay, until it's not okay. Running fast, breaking things, picking up the pieces later, man, that's never okay. The danger of living an immature Christian life will catch up with you. Running fast, breaking things, picking up pieces later is never okay as a follower of Jesus. Never okay."
And Ron will be right back with a preview of our next broadcast. Please stay with us. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're calloused by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a look at our next broadcast.
What if you got so busy and so distracted, so unfocused, that you missed the very best that God had for you? Just never got around to it.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.